Now, you know, we've been speaking to you about the gift of healing. Now, you may be seated. What is, if you're cold, please let the men know. What is the difference between, say, healing and the gift of healing? And there's a difference in it. A gift of healing is when a person has been given that gift, just like a person's been given the gift to preach or teach or cast out devils, that sort of thing. But just healing, it's for all believers. In other words, anyone that knows Jesus and believes, they can heal. A lot of people are surprised when they, when all of a sudden there's nobody around and they pray and God heals. And they think, oh, I'm going to be Catherine Kuhlman. But it may be just for that one time that that person might have enough faith for that particular situation. But a gift of healing is a person that consistently moves out in healing and miracle powers. Amen? And so it's one of the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to share you just a few things before we talk about healing. One thing is you must always be aware of the fact that it's the Holy Ghost that anoints you for the gift of healing, because he's the one that gives gifts, right? The Bible says he gives gifts to whom he will. And so he's the one that chooses the person to give the gift to. Now, it's very important for you to understand that it's him that gives the gifts, and he gives them, gives you a gift when you are spiritually prepared to walk in that office of walking in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, what happens is he prepares you physically, spiritually, and mentally to walk in that position. But one thing that you must always be aware of, you got your Bibles, I'm sure, is Ezekiel 36:27. And he says there, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, so that you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, any time that you seek after a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's okay for you to seek the Lord for those things. It says covet those things. But when you seek after those gifts, you have to examine yourself, and you have to examine to see if you're going to sincerely walk with Jesus. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is not something to play around with, because if you have open doors in your life, then you can open doors in other people's lives. Like, I teach our people that whenever they go out to other churches and they say they have an evangelist there that you don't know, nobody knows, before you give yourself for that person to minister to you, you ought to ask God, is that person holy? Would I be safe in letting that person lay their hands on me? Because the spirits come, the demons come through the laying on of hands. You know, when you go to the Mormon church, they bring you into the church and they lay hands on you. And probably many of the occults and many of the cult-type churches have an induction where they lay hands on you so that they can impart spirits. When you go to the, if you were to get a hearing before the throne of the Roman Pope, do you know that he would actually lay his hand on you to transfer spirits to you. And so spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And so I'm just telling you that we have to treat holy things very holy, right? And the reason that we pray is because the Holy Ghost in John 14:17, the Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, because you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So if you're traveling around and you have the Holy Ghost in you, you ought to be a holy person, right? And but what's his job? He is the Spirit of truth. And he will lead you into all truth. He will lead you into the Word in certain passages that you need to know, for instance, to improve that gift that he has given you. He will lead you into all truth to keep your human spirit from rising up and overtaking the spiritual gift that he has given you. And if you know the truth will set you free. But if you know the truth, you'll want to walk with Jesus in it, right? However, there are people in America today that think they can have it both ways. There are some ministers that think that they can have a miracle ministry, a gift of healing and preaching and see the glory of God come in and see the blind healed and the deaf to be able to hear and the blind to be able to see, and yet their lives are not holy. We've just witnessed that, just as we are speaking or witnessing it with Todd Bentley. Todd Bentley had thousands of people coming over there to Lakeland. And God TV was giving him an audience of over 126 million people every night. And yet something was wrong. And finally, when the time came, God exposed him. And what was wrong? He was having an affair with his babysitter that was taking care of his children. And nobody could see that he was drinking every night. They just, hey, he's drunk on the Holy Ghost, you know. And I would look at him and I'd say, that's not any Holy Ghost drunk that I've ever seen, you know. But the truth is that he was in sin. But yet, he was still trying to function as a minister and trying to make someone think or people think that he was sitting right next to God. Well, you see, all of those people that he laid his hands on, all of those people that would come up underneath his ministry, they were receiving a different spirit other than the Spirit of God. Amen? And so, eventually, God just said, okay, I'm going to expose you. And he did. And it came exposed that he was not only going with that woman, but they were actually living together. And that he asked his wife for a divorce. And I just got some information on it yesterday, the woman that was his babysitter, they're still living together. Now how? And he's still going around to churches that will have him. And you see, there's no purity in that ministry. But yet, ministers would love to have him come because people will come to see him because of all of the promotion that he got. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. However, if you truly have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you're clean and pure, and you walk before the Lord with your gift, the Lord will bring people that he wants to come. And, you know, We never think of this, but sometimes God has ministers to preach to people. And you wonder about it because sometimes it just doesn't catch on. And you say, well, what happened? Well, sometimes a minister is preaching, and it could be a last message to the person that is fixing to go off into rebellion. And preaching is supposed to heal the spirit, and it's supposed to open the mind and the spirit of a person to receive Jesus. But you see, everybody's got that will. So when a preacher stands up and preaches, everybody is not going to fall on their knees and praise the Lord. You have to always remember that. And when Jesus was on the earth, the Bible shows that he was preaching to all of these multitudes, and he said that one day he started preaching to them, and he told them what he would require for them to be his disciples. And when he preached the message to them, the Bible says, many went away and never returned. And Jesus said to the followers, he said, would you leave me too? And they said, oh, no, Lord, we cannot leave you because you have the words to eternal life. So preaching is a gift that draws people, and it's a gift that separates people. And it's important for you to know that because sometimes God's drawing and sometimes he's separating, amen? And you always have to remember that as long as you do what God tells you to do, and you do it in holiness, sanctification, your will connected to him, his spirit filled in you, and you do and say and go wherever he tells you to do and say and go, and you preach what he shows you and tells you to preach, then you're not a failure. You need to know that. Because not everyone is going to get saved. And not everyone's going to exalt you because you have a miracle ministry or a healing ministry. You see, it's all for his glory, isn't it? Everything we do is for his glory. And we don't know what his purposes are all the time. But we know as long as we keep ourselves close to him, with him filling us up and keeping the word of God showering us, and then giving out those wonderful things that he tells us to do, will be successful. Because the Bible says that there'll be a large group of people that come, and he's going to have to say to those people, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And they'll say, but Lord, didn't we preach in your name? You know, there's a lot of people preaching in the name of Jesus who are not right in the spirit, not living for him. Didn't we cast out devils in your name? And when they get through making their cause, he looks at them and he says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You see, it's a very special privilege to know Jesus, but it's also a special, special privilege to be able to use his name because of the fact that Jesus is the one that paid the price for you to be able to do what he calls you to do. And that price was his shedding of his blood and his death up on that cross. So the glory is all his and never ours. And we prove that once we go to heaven, the Bible says that we'll take our crowns and we'll cast them at his feet. And the Bible shows us that we'll get great jewels in our crowns as we work for Jesus on this earth. But you know, those jewels and things become very dim when you stand in the presence of God. And then when you stand in the presence of God and you see that you're standing there because of what he did and not because of what you did, then you cast those crowns at his feet and say they belong to you. They become very dim when the glorious God stands in front of us. Amen? So healing ministries, deliverance, and the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are very important. And I just showed you that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He's your teacher. Amen? And he lives inside of you. And so if you have Luke, your Bibles, Luke 4:18, the Bible says there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Now, this is the ministry of Jesus that we just read about, because of the fact that this was his first message that we see Jesus speaking in a synagogue. And this message can also be found over in Isaiah around the 61st chapter from memory. Don't hold me to memory. But here's the thing. What he was doing in this message is he had come to a country that was totally bound in religious spirits because the rabbis were teaching them the Kabbalah. We never think of it that way, do we? They weren't teaching him and the people the Word of God. They were not teaching the Torah, which is the Old Testament part of the Word of God. They were teaching them the writings that the rabbis had handed down from generation to generation, from since the time that they were taken in captivity over in the Old Testament. Josiah, they found the book after they came out of captivity. And King Josiah was just a young boy. He wasn't a grown man. But he knew something precious had happened. You know, young people, they have spiritual senses sometimes that we don't. Older people, they're tuned to the Spirit sometimes better than we are. And Josiah had heard about a woman called Huldah. And she was a professor over in the college. And the Bible, you're talking about a role change. This was one in the Old Testament. The husband was the king's wardrobe keeper. Now, that's a role change, right? And so the Huldah was a prophetess. And Josiah called the priest in, and he said, "We have the book. We found the book. And I want you to take the book to Huldah for her to interpret." And so when they come and tell you that women can't preach, go look those scriptures up and say, well, they could preach in the Old Testament. They could preach to a king and his priest, couldn't they? But the truth is, the reason that the king sought after Huldah was because she was a holy woman of God. And in addition to that, the priesthood had just come out of captivity, and they had been trained in captivity. And what happens in captivity, of Babylonian captivity, was that they would have to memorize pieces of the gospel, pieces of the word. But meantime, they were polluted under the heathen, pagan people that they were living with. So what ends up is they hear one of the heathen priests say something, and they say, hey, that sounds pretty good. And they wrote it down. And so by the time they got out of captivity, they were polluted because they had a religion that was mixed, you see. But the king wanted Huldah to interpret the Bible because he knew there was power in that word. And so now, from the Babylonian captivity in the Old Testament all the way up to the New Testament, your priesthood was reading parts of the Bible, and they were reading the rabbis' interpretations of and their mixtures from the Babylonian times. And so the power was gone out of the Jewish faith. Now, in between Jesus' appearance on the earth, Malachi and the New Testament, there's about 450 years between that. And you can see when you read that last book in the Old Testament, you'll see that that's the book where God begins to talk about things that they had left aside, but he was telling them the curse was coming on them because they had neglected. And from memory, tithe. A curse comes if you don't pay your tithes. And the reason the curse comes is because you tie the hand of the man or woman of God. They can't get the gospel out. It takes finances to build churches and for the priest to live, really. And so, but there was 450 years, and so Jesus made his appearance, and he came as an old-style, powerful, anointed man of God that did miracles like Elisha and Elijah, that spoke as a prophet, that lived as a holy man of God, that preached and taught the Word of God. And so this particular scripture, Luke 4:18, he pulled this scripture out of Isaiah, which promises the Messiah, which was the promise of the Messiah coming. And so, and for lack of time, you have to look up that scripture in the Old Testament, because he breaks that scripture here. It's very curious. What he did is he opened the scroll, stood up, and he read this scripture, and he broke the scripture. That means he stopped at a certain point before the whole scripture was read. And what it said in essence was, what he said in essence was, this day, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. And so, in other words, the part that applied to him as the Messiah, he wanted them to see that this was his ministry, that he was the called Messiah, and this is why he came. And of course he came to announce to them that the Holy Ghost was upon him. And you can see that he announced that the Holy Ghost had anointed him, just like the Holy Ghost anointed Old Testament prophets. Amen. And he announced a very curious thing here. He said to preach, but to preach to whom? To the poor. To preach the gospel to the poor. And back in his day when he made his appearance, the religious Jews already set up a religious system that denied women their equality in the sanctuary. They had to go to the outer court. And at the same time, you had to pay a tax to get into the inner courts. And so he came to bring equality to the poor and to bring equality to women. Now, he was bringing equality to women in one place over in John 4 when he met the lady by the well. And when he met the lady by the well, rabbis were not supposed to speak to women. It was against the Jewish law. So what he was doing at that point is he was breaking what is known as the oral law of the rabbis. So he was breaking that law that rabbis could not speak to women. And even after he left, you know, the women stayed right by the cross by him. And when he died, the veil was broken. That means that inner court that kept people from God, they needed a mediator between them and God, broke. And Jesus was announcing, I am your mediator. You don't need a man between me and you. I am your mediator. Now, in addition to all of that, he was sent for a purpose here, and the purpose was to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So what he was doing is he was laying down his ministry for you to imitate his ministry. He says, as I send you, as the Father sent me, I send you. And so we are to imitate and copy the word and Jesus' ministry. Amen? Just because somebody has a great, mighty ministry, we don't have to copy their ministry. We copy his ministry. Amen? And so the ministry for healing and casting out devils and preaching and all nine gifts of the Holy Ghost are anointed by the Holy Ghost exactly the same as they were anointed when Jesus got baptized. Remember, the Father, the Holy Ghost, and the Son. You can see a picture of him there. And he says, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Holy Ghost made an appearance as a dove. And, of course, Jesus is in the water getting baptized. But then John the Baptist has announced the Messiah is come because he was really the Elijah that came before the Messiah. And he said, there's one coming after me that whose shoes I am not even worthy to tie. And he said, he will lead you into all truth, and he will baptize you with fire. So the ministry is a supernatural work that is given to us by the Father. You're called before the foundation of the world. You're anointed by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father in Ephesians chapter 1, giving intercession for us who believe and extending his powers to usward who believe. So as he was taken and translated up into heaven, he left his mantle upon the church just as Elijah did, and that mantle was his mantle to heal, deliver, to speak the word, to develop a church, to develop people founded on the word of God instead of the Babylonian system. And now, why did I go into all of this? So that you could understand what your ministry is. So that you can understand that it's not you that heals. You have nothing to do with it except being obedient to God. And you must always give him the glory. You must always say, Jesus did this and Jesus did that, because that'll keep you humble when it comes to your miracle or whatever ministry you have. And so we see from the New Testament that he gave us his authority in Matthew 16 and then in Matthew 18:18, and it was the authority of giving us the keys. And I'm almost finished. And the keys were the keys that he was going to go down into hell after his death and go marching through the fires of hell right up to the devil. And he said, give me the keys. What were those keys? Those keys were the keys to death and sickness. He took the keys from the devil. And then when he came back and he visited with the people, he resurrected into heaven, but he left a church on this earth with his power and his authority, and the keys were the keys to be able to bind the power of Satan and the power of the devil. And so your power to heal the sick, to cast out devils, is your power to take those keys and lock up all of the powers of the enemy. If it's a spirit of heart attack, infirmity, whatever it might be, cancer, AIDS, crippledness, blindness, whatever it may be, you have the keys because Jesus gave you the authority. However, one last thing that I want to point out to you. When you see Jesus in the first chapter of Revelation, you see him in his priestly outfit, his priestly garments. And one thing that makes note is around his waist is the keys. So as you begin to use those keys, you have to keep in mind that Jesus is sitting on the throne of God. And as you bound things down here on this earth, he's sitting on the throne of God and he has the power to do what you have said with your mouth. Amen?